Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Afromasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
There are some Christians who don't believe in tithing because they say it is Old Testament. And there are some Christians who don't believe in many different things. Well, they are free to choose. But we go by the Bible. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to tell you some of the doctrines that we have. And the doctrine that you have forms and shapes your philosophy, how you think. Because if you don't believe in prosperity, you'll be very happy when you are poor, and you feel that when you are poor, you are serving God and you are nearer to heaven, and the rich are all going to hell, like the rich man in Lazarus. So when you don't believe in prosperity or that one, your thinking is different. And when somebody offers you money, you say, "You are tempting me." You don't believe it. And when you don't believe in healing, when you have a sickness, you accept it. And then you lie down and say, "My asthma has come. My hypertension has come." It will be yours forever. You have laid claim to it. And we will get to heaven, and we'll discover that some people should not have died. They died before their time because they didn't hold on to something, a line that God threw them, and they just rejected it and tried to use their own power. And your power doesn't save. You have to believe. Are you listening to me? You have to believe what we have been given as Christians. And that will help us. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 14 and verse 1, from the easy to read version. It's a very nice Bible. You should find it. Easy to read, very simplified version. And it says, "Be willing to accept those who still have doubts about what believers can do." They still have doubts about our doctrine. Amen. Some people still don't believe well all the things that we believe. And that is why today I'm taking my time to go through some of the beliefs, some of our doctrine. We can't do all. But as I go through some, you have an idea of what we are up against. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this gathering of saints that you have called us into this house. Let it be, O God, such that we know you are the reason for this gathering, and bless us in all that we do. Thank you so very, very much. In Jesus' name, and all the saints said, Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Our doctrine, hallelujah. And the doctrine is a set of beliefs. Doctrine. It is a 1, 2, 3, 4 certain things that we all believe, and it holds us together. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. There's a very important scripture there, and it says, "For as a man thinketh, so is he." You see, the dogma is very important because it forms the way your mind works. Amen. And that goes on to affect the way you act. Write this one down. Your actions are a reflection of your thoughts. What you are doing, I mean, I don't know how your mind works, whether you believe in marriage or not, but your action tells me what you are thinking. So a young person who is 39, when you ask him, when are you going to get married, he says, no problem, I'm not yet 40. He believes something. He believes something, that in our society 40 is not a problem. So he's 39, he's not married, and he's not worried at all. Whereas somebody who comes from somewhere else, at 25 you are worried. At 25 he's saying, I should be married by now, because you come from a place where they believe something else, and therefore you act differently based on that belief. Hallelujah. So what you believe is what affects you. And this morning I'm here to give you what you should believe. Amen. What you should believe, because these are the beliefs of Christians. Hallelujah. These are what we Christians believe. Where does this belief come from? Two places. Number one, from the Bible. The Bible is our guide. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. The Bible is where we are taught what, who we are, and what, I mean, born again is not a church idea, it's a Bible idea. It's in John chapter 3. And because of John chapter 3 in the Bible, we as a church, is our doctrine that we must be born again. That is our doctrine. Hallelujah. So okay, let me start. Our major doctrines, there are many, many other ones, and I can't finish, but our doctrine is, number one, salvation. You must be born again. Number one doctrine we believe as a church is you must be born again. That is why even sometimes you look at a church and there's no stranger, no new person, yet we do altar call. Why? Because altar call is our DNA. It is how we live and how we move and how we breathe. Altar call is, and ask him about, bra or sister, are you born again? No, ask, sometimes I'll tell you a story. What happened? Yesterday, I was coming from Kintampo, and as I was coming, I stopped to buy mangoes, because as we're coming, there were many mango sellers, but I told the guy, no. Then finally we saw one. I said, yes, let's buy this one. So we stopped to buy the mangoes. A very nice lady, oh, she gave us the mangoes, but it was a very good stop. Then when we had finished buying, then I asked her, sister, where do you go to church? Then she said, oh, I go to Apostles something something Power Church. I said, beautiful. Are you a regular member? She said, yes, I am. Then I asked her, are you born again? Then she smiled. Then she said, I go to church. Then I was her friend. Then I said, ask her, have you received Jesus? She said, yes. From when? From when I was a child. I said, no. Then I told my friend, begin from Nicodemus. I told him, begin from Nicodemus, that a wise man, a church man, came to Jesus to ask him, what is this thing? So he began from Nicodemus, and he explained to her, born again. Then he asked her, so are you born again? She said, no. Have you ever prayed this prayer? She said, no. I said, okay, let's pray it now. Will you pray it now? She said, yes. So there at the roadside, I told him to lead her to Christ. And then she prayed their prayer. Do you know what she said when she finished? She said, what kind of church do we go to? Where they only preach yedie, doing prosperity, and they don't preach about this thing. She was very bored. My church, I've never heard this before. Said, I have never heard this born again. Never heard it before. My church, Prosperity. You do well. And she was asking, what church is this? I said, it's up to you. Go and discover it. But some churches do not talk about it. Amen. But Jesus Christ came. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. This is why Jesus came. And so, born again, salvation, it is our base doctrine. Hallelujah. It means two things. Number one, you must, three things. Number one, you must be born again. Number two, you must make sure others are born again. You must never tap your neighbor and tell him, you must never finish preaching born again. Never. You didn't say it well. No. Born again is it. You know, somebody said that you preach the basics. We are preaching advanced Christianity. Tell them that I don't know advanced Christianity in the Bible. I don't know where it came from. I've not heard it before. Because all I know is Jesus Christ, our prophet says, all we preach is the basics. Born again. Listen, tell anybody, you must know how to lead someone to Christ. Hold your neighbor by their shirt and their dress and shake the person. You must know how. Hey, you're not minding me. You must know how to lead somebody to Christ. You cannot be in this church and you are just sitting in a church. You are just eating and drinking like that by heart. No. Amen. Oh, I said amen. Amen. Because born again is a basic Christian doctrine. So you must always think it must shape how your mind works. Because it is something that is your doctrine. Every time I see a poster, painful exits, gone too soon. When we're coming yesterday, where we stopped to buy the first yam or something, there was a lot of shouting and giddy giddy. People were in red. Why? Some two young men have just died and they've come to bury them. And the people were drunk or drinking and they were on the highway, the motor, vroom, then they go and do and come back over somebody who has died. My thinking is, where has he gone? That is my thinking. I mean, when I watched it, I was thinking, this guy who has died, where has he gone? My friend has died, Bishop Big Daddy. He has died and left me, but I know where he has gone because he was born again. Every time you see a poster, gone too soon, painful exit, what a shock, what the king are they saying? You must ask, where has the person gone? You must ask, was he born again? This morning, Pastor George told me his grandmother, last night, his grandmother passed away. Last night, my condolences. We are very sorry. Yeah. But if she was born again, I would say, Charlie, she's lucky. She has escaped this God now we are inside. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? So if you are a Christian, your first concern is, are people, if you have a mother or a father or a brother or a sister, you must be concerned, are they born again? You tell about, you are wicked. Tell about, you are wicked. Oh, I didn't hear, say you are wicked. If you have a mother or a father or a brother or a sister or a husband or a wife, and you are not concerned about whether they are born again or not, no, you are not correct. You are not correct if you have a roommate or a classmate who sits by you and you are not concerned that they are going to heaven, that they are born again or not. This should be a default. Do you know default? Default means without effort. It's how you think. Default means this is how I am. Some people, when they see beer or drink, they want to drink some. They drink. Some of you, if they offer you beer, you say, "What is this? Give me Coca-Cola. I don't drink." So a default is the way you behave and think. And default number one, how you must think, is salvation. Amen. That is why, even if we don't do official outreach, you must do your own. I will accept that you don't fast on your own. I will accept it. I will accept you don't do all night on your own. In my heart, I accept it. I accept that you don't do some things on your own. But as for preaching salvation, if your church doesn't do outreach, hey, do it yourself. Because when you get to heaven, they will ask you. It's our belief, it's our doctrine. Amen. Are you listening to me? It is what we believe. Salvation. It is necessary. I was telling somebody, this church, this reasonable church, we believe in doing the thing happily. Do that. And you must, until you believe, you can't do it happily. Until you believe, you always do it because they said I should do it. I was sent to go and do it. And that's why I've gone to do it. And so that's why, that one, where there's any obstacle, any rain cloud, any wind is blowing, any dog is doing whoa, whoa, you say, hey, it's dangerous, I can't go again. But if you believe that this is the real reason why I'm a Christian to bring salvation, after a long time, you say, hey, Charlie, it's a long time, oh, now we did some outreach. It's a long time we did, somebody must come and tell us, Bishop, is there a long time we did something in the church? Then I'll apologize. Say, I'm sorry. I'm leading you astray. Let's go and do outreach. Let's go and do all night. Let's have a prayer retreat. Somebody must complain. But today is born again, salvation. Somebody, all of us, you must be salvation minded. Amen. Amen. Your best friend. I have a very good friend. I haven't seen him for years. Then I got in touch with him. Then I asked him, so where do you go to church? He said, Charlie, I know they go to church. I said, you power all these years, you have not changed. Because from long ago, when I knew him on school, he wasn't going to church like that. So all he said, you don't go to church. And I said, okay. So I asked him, how are you? He's got a child. As a child. So ask him, does your child go to church? He says, sometimes. I said, look, you are teaching your child not to go to church because you don't go. And the child will grow up. We don't go to church. We just stay home on Sunday. Or we do logoligi, do komsi komsa. Sometimes we go, sometimes we don't go. But not us, a Christian. Tell somebody, a Christian believes in salvation. So everybody close and dear to you, plus anybody you encounter, you must bring up this issue. It is not a church doctrine, it's a Bible doctrine, and that is why it is a church doctrine. Do you understand? It's not our idea, it's Jesus' idea. So our doctrine is the Bible. That's why we are doing salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So everybody here must be conscious. Look at me. I'm coming from a camp. Hey, they were tired. I have to say, look at me all the time. Everybody here must be salvation conscious. It is how we do our things. Hallelujah. Doctrine number two, the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19. And Paul, verse 2, and Paul said to them, have ye received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Jesus told them, wait, you receive a gift, the promise from on high. And Jesus himself, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Listen, everybody here, If you are a Christian, look at me, if you are a Christian, the second thing you must accept as a doctrine that we all believe is that there is the Holy Ghost and you must have him. Don't say that, oh, you know, this Holy Ghost is for some. No, it's not for some. Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father. It's not for some. I spent a whole of last night, one night, preaching to some people. I said, the Holy Ghost is not for preachers. It's not for preachers. You think that only preacher needs Holy Ghost? Acts 10, 38, it says, Jesus went around doing good. He didn't say preaching. He didn't say he went around preaching. Do you, I ask him about, can your eyes work? Can you see? Ask your neighbor, hold your neighbor by the shirt or dress or something. Ask him, can you see the scripture? Ask him, do you want to do good? No, I don't hear, you're not talking. Do you want to do good? You want to do good. How many want to do good? The only way you can do good is this, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It that and as a Christian, we are called to save other people. You must believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, are you here this morning? Yes. You must, brother, you must believe in the Holy Spirit. And if you believe, therefore, you must get it. Yes. No. People want money because they believe that money answers all things. That's why they want money. Some don't even need money. Some people want a car. They can't even drive. Their house where there's no road, where they are working and their shop is the same building. So where are you going with a car? You don't travel anywhere. But they've only heard car. So they want car. They don't know what it is. Amen. I said amen. But listen to me. Look at me. If you are a Christian, you must believe that there is something called the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and I want it is a good thing. So if you don't have it, please shake your neighbor and say, Charlie, you better get it. You better get it. And today is a very good day to get it, because Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. Salvation, and next, the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was telling them at the camp that, listen, you must speak in tongues. Not because of anything or anything, but it is the spiritual language that we speak to God with. And as a Christian, a child of God, you must talk to your mother. At least you and your parents must speak the same language. Or it's not the case. You and your parents must be able to communicate in our language. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I read about some siblings, a big sister and a small brother. And the small brother, when he was very small, he wasn't talking. He could talk, but he wasn't talking. He was just quiet. And so the sister, who was about 2 years older, he was 3 or 4, she was 5 or 6, she began to talk for him. So she would talk. Then she said, oh, Junior wants this. Junior. They say, oh, how? They say, oh, I know. And it's true. So she began to talk for him. She was talking for him. And then she said that somehow I knew what he was thinking. Somehow. So her kid brother, so they grew up until grown-ups. And even when they were teenagers, that's how they were. When they go to a priest and ask her, what do you want? Give him cook. What do they want? Give him this. And she talked for him. But he could talk. He wasn't dumb. No, he wasn't dumb. He just didn't talk. Look, the Holy Spirit, he is the way to know God.
I mean, somehow, what God is thinking, what, how to tell God what I'm thinking, how to say the real. Bishop said that sometimes you don't know what to pray for. You are praying about tomorrow. You are going to die tonight. You are praying about tomorrow. Pray against dying tonight. That is the prayer topic. Don't pray about tomorrow's party. It's a party tomorrow. I want to, what shoe should I wear? What? No. That is not the problem. It's tonight that the trouble is coming. Pray against tonight's fire or accident or overspeeding or drunk driver. Pray. When you are praying, Bakataya, you are praying. Then when you get home, you say, some car almost hit me. You say, hey, driver, be careful. Oh. Your prayer has saved you. You are saying that the car almost hit me. No, your prayer has saved you. Amen. Are you listening? I want to shape your mind. So if you start thinking like this, you are becoming a proper Christian. Hallelujah. If you are ever see a poster, gone too soon, painful exit, what a shock. What again? A life cut short. Oh, why? I've not seen that one, but I've not seen that one. Your reaction should be, where has he gone? That should be your reaction as a good Christian. And then your second reaction for yourself is, do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Please ask your neighbor, excuse me, are you a good Christian? What did he say, yes or no? Some said no, eh? He said yes. Okay, so ask him, do you have the Holy Spirit? Because if you do, your thinking will be in a certain way. Amen. Amen. Number three. Judgments. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto a man. Once you will die, and then judgments. So, if you are a Christian, are you listening to me? If you are a Christian, you must think of the day of judgment. That's why the man who was very, very wise in Ecclesiastics, he said, it is better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting. Is better. In a house of feasting, you learn foolishness. You learn carnal, natural things. In a house of mourning, you become alert. Hey, somebody has died. What's happening? What's going on? Judgments. Amen. Tell your neighbor, one day, please tell neighbor, one day you will be judged. I mean, some people talk as if they are kings or they will not die or whatever. No. One day, I'll tell you about one day, you will be judged. Be aware that there is judgment for you. Be aware. Amen. Tell you about, no matter what you do, you'll be judged. Amen. So, and the judge, Psalm 75, and the judge is God. God is the judge. Hallelujah. No, you see, I'm telling you these realities so that you start thinking in a certain way. Amen. Because sometimes we behave as if I will not be judged. When we say, let's do something, I mean, if there was a policeman here, straight away, you all drive at 50 or 80. Because there's judgment on the road. When there's no policeman, zoom. You just do your 120 or your 1 whatever it is. Because nobody has caught me. When you are aware I can be caught and punished, you behave in a certain way. True or not true? And some of you behave as if there's no judgment. That is why look at me, I'm very serious today. That is why when we say that we are doing outreach, you won't come. Because you don't care. Nobody has caught you. After all, it's my life. I pay my own rent. I pay my own transportation. This church, I came myself. I brought my body to church. Who did you bring me to church? I am me. I control myself. I do what I like. True. But one day you see judgments. One day, brother, one day you will see judgments. No matter, go and buy cotton wool and put it around yourself, you will still die one day. Then judgments. Let it be. I think of judgment too. Oh, I think about it. It's something that is in my mind constantly. And so I'm always trying to do things that when I am judged, I'll not be found wanting. So judgments. Number one, God is the judge. Do you know what it means? It means you can't deceive the judge. You can deceive everybody. You can tell lies, even smile when you are crying, even give your last money and say, I'm rich. You can deceive people, but you can't deceive God. So what you must know is that the judgment that is coming is real and is fair. And is real and is fair. You'll be judged. And that judgment, in fact, in Revelation, it says that books are open. That judgment, they will not ask you to defend yourself. They'll just read what you have done. It's not that they'll read. It's not the question of what you say. What you say doesn't matter. We know. As we are sitting here, some are here happily. Some are here because if you don't come, you get a phone call. Yeah, that's why you're in church. And some are not here because nobody called them. So you wonder, are they Christians or not? A good Christian is aware of judgments. Amen. In that same way also, because there'll be a judgment from God, you too relax your own judgment. I don't judge people. Leave them to God. I saw a very nice scripture. Romans 12. A very nice scripture. Romans 12 verse 19. You see, the King James there is not always good. Do you have, find easy to read version. Find it. Easy to read version. It says this. My friends, don't try to punish anyone who does wrong to you. Wait for God to punish them in his anger. Don't you try and be a judge. No, relax. Tell somebody, Fama Nyami. Yeah, leave it to God. It's not a bad thing. It's the best way to believe it. Give it to God. Don't worry about many things. I'll give you more reasons why you shouldn't worry. But let God be the judge. Two people are working. Do you know what they are thinking? Do you know what is going on in their minds? You don't. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. And God, he sees it clearly. That's why in heaven, your thoughts are broadcast like Wi-Fi. When you are in heaven and you are thinking, they are wasting my time. Whatever you are thinking, we all hear it. That's why Jesus could answer their thoughts. Yeah. Those of you who are thinking bad, you have kept quiet. You are smiling. Today's prayer, those who speak peace but think mischief in their hearts. No. For that reason, you never think evil in your mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? You never, you see, sometimes we like, oh, nobody knows my mind. I can think what I like to think. I can think it's private. It's private. Your mind is private. It is private until judgment. It is private until judgment. So even say, oh, I can't say what I'm thinking. They will say I'm a rango. No. Don't even think it. Don't even think it. How can I not think about it? How can I not think about it? Philippians 4. Paul has given you a list of things to think about. Think about certain things. And we are told in Romans 12, transform your mind, renew your mind.
If you know, if one of the interesting things that people do is when they are going to commit a crime, they try and Google how to commit a crime. They Google how to poison, how to make a bomb. They Google all those things. I mean, people, how, otherwise, how do you do it? So they Google it. That is why when you are arrested in America, first thing is they take your phone and your laptop and all your gadgets to see where you have been researching. Yeah. And sometimes they are, it's very interesting. After Googling, then they press delete. They press delete. I've deleted it. It's gone. They don't know. But listen, you can never delete it. It's very easy to bring it back. Even some children can bring back what you have deleted, because they just have to do another software or go into the trash can, or even delete from the trash can. It's not gone. They say that, are you afraid? Those are typing. They say whatever you have typed before is never erasable. It's always there somewhere. Only find the tools to bring it out again. Yeah. So listen. You see, what I'm saying may sound crazy, but believe me, don't even think some evil things. Don't even think, because when you are thinking, you'll be judged for your thoughts. I don't know whether I'm saying something. As a Christian, if you're a good Christian, don't think. Don't think about, you know, this girl, how will she be in bed? Don't think like that. Don't think. Say, oh, she's my sister, that's all. Think like that and stop at that point. Don't say, if I remove the dress, what do I see? You are thinking. Do you understand how I'm thinking? And say, oh, but nobody knows what I'm thinking. It's private. It is private for now. Until judge, there will be a judgment where the sins of all hearts will be revealed. I don't know whether you are listening to me. My time is finished. I don't have time. I told you I can't do many. I'm doing just a few. So listen to this. Because of judgment, don't be upset about many things. Life is not fair. It's true. But don't worry. God is in control. Don't be upset. Amen. Don't be upset at all. Don't be. Look, when they say dollar has gone, there's corruption, the police are stealing, they're taking bribe, the people are, don't worry. Leave it. Somebody has power to correct it. Let him, leave it to him. If you know Christ, what can you do? Your worry won't change anything. Don't worry. Tell anybody, don't worry. Oh, tell anybody, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Your classmates are cheating, so you are disturbed. Leave them. Don't be caught somewhere. Leave them. Don't join them and don't worry about them. They say what? Paddle your own canoe. Paddle your own canoe and go your way. Don't worry. Amen. Number four, I'm giving you what we believe as Christians. And you too, you must believe these things. Hey. Number four, heaven and hell and eternity. Heaven and hell and eternity. You must believe in heaven and believe in hell and believe in eternity. John 14:2. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, believe in heaven and hell. It means, look at me, it means that believe that one day you are either going to heaven or you are either going to hell. And because of salvation, you must know how to enter into the two places. Amen. And you must be comforted. Do you understand? If you are going to heaven, if there is a heaven and you are going to heaven, you must be what? Comforted. You are, no, are you listening to me? If there is a heaven, and a heaven is a very nice place,
a very beautiful place. If there's a heaven, you must be what? Comforted by that fact. So certain things should not shake you. They should, they can, you will cry that you will cry, but they should not shake you. And you too, you should not be afraid to die. You look at your neighbor's face and say, I'm trying to estimate whether you fear death or not. I'm trying to check your temperature, whether you are afraid to die. When you go and see a doctor and then they say something, say, hey, I'm dead. Oh, sometimes you die because you are afraid of death. You don't die from the sickness, you die from the fear. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. From the easy to read version, to me, the only important thing about living is Christ. And this is a man who's alive. And even death would be for my benefits. If I continue living here on earth, I'm telling you about, think of heaven and hell. Just have that in your mind. This is where it will take you. If I continue living on earth, I will be able to work for the Lord. But what would I choose? To live or to die? For some of you, there's no thinking. There's no thinking. I want life. Even when you are crippled and you are paralyzed, I want life. Look at what the man says. It would be a hard choice. Are you, ask anybody, are you a Christian? That you do, death is so like death yet of Yakwa. Are you a Christian? Paul is a Christian. No, he is the Christian who I think most, we have to go into it one day, most represented Christ. He said it would be a hard choice. Sometimes I want to live this life and be with Christ. Not suicide. I'm escaping trouble, or I'm escaping my depression, or what's the use? No. That is suicide. That is a devilish ending of your life. He says, I want to live this life and be with Christ. Why? That would be much better for me. Shabaya. That's heaven. That's heaven. One day I was thinking, if I go to heaven, I'll be a shoeshine boy. Do you know why? The streets are gold. So when you are collecting a shoe, you are collecting all the gold, small. You are amassing gold. Yeah. I'll just gather all the shoes. All the dust is gold dust. After 10,000 years, I will have a lot of gold dust. And I didn't steal anything at all. I believe in heaven. No, look at me. I believe in heaven. You too. You must believe in heaven. And therefore believe in hell. That's why when somebody is not born again, you should worry. Painful exits. Those painful exits, very often, painful destination. Very often. Yeah, painful exits. Sudden, what? Gone too soon. That one there is true. What a shock. Because you didn't live a good life. And those ones, there's always confusion at their funeral. Amen. What's our doctrine? So listen, I don't have time to go into details. I'll mention them to you. So you too, you must go and read and study a bit more. Say amen. Yeah, so what's number one doctrine? Born again, salvation. What's number two doctrine? Holy Spirit. This church, everybody must speak in tongues. Not because of anything, but because we are born again. Not so everybody, area person, you must be able to ensure, Mr. Man, hey, people's here. Do you speak in tongues? You don't speak in tongues. You must be worried. They say, hey, they are sharing money here. They didn't give me some. Why? What have I done wrong? You must be worried. And you see, we listen.
Sometimes they make pastors policemen, all begin with P, but it's wrong. They make a pastor a policeman, he must come and grab you and interrogate you and do investigation about you. Wrong. You must say, hey, from today, this thing they are saying, I want some. You must come and say, pastor, please hold a pastor's shirt. Say, pastor, listen, I've heard that this Holy Spirit, I need it, please give it to me. You must come. Don't let us come and find you and push it into your hearts. We are pushing Holy Ghost onto you. Receive it. Receive it. Take it. One. Take it. Two. Hey, open your mouth. Rush out. Let it. Why? Why? You must say, listen, I want this thing. Give it to me. Help me. How can I get it? I'll say, pray. Say, well, I'm praying. Nothing is coming. Don't wait. It will come. Pastor is not coming. Give it to me. You must be rather chasing us for it. Because you have seen the value. It is what a good Christian has. Number three is what? Judgment. Behave. Yeah. And the judge is God. When you're in your room alone, nobody is here with me, I can watch what I want to watch. Tell your neighbor you are crazy. You are alone. You are, okay, I'll come to that one. Number what? Four is heaven and hell. Number five, angels and devils. Angels, believe in angels and believe in devils. Believe it. It is real. It's a part of your Christianity. A good Christian knows there are angels. Hebrews 1:14. All the angels are spirits who serve God and are sent to help those who receive salvation. Utiasi. Those all spirits, all angels are spirits who serve God and are sent to help. Help who? Help who? Us. Those who receive salvation. Who are they? That's us. So angels are here on your side. Amen. Amen. Angels are what? They are here on your side. That is why 1 Kings 6. 1 Kings 6. Elisha was with his servants. Find it, or to the servants. And then when they woke up in the morning, there were chariots, they were surrounded. And the master said, hey, master, we are surrounded. And Elisha said, relax. The guy was worried. We are surrounded. I see enemies all around. And Elisha said, relax. More are they on our side. And the guy was like, no, I can see 17 enemies. Let's say, relax. There are thousands. Then he prayed, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. When the guys opened, he saw the mountains were filled with chariots of fire. Amen. Tell me about, because of this, never be afraid. That is why there are so many injunctions, commands, fear not. Fear not, fear not, because you have help. Amen. You have help. I don't know. I've believed this thing for so long that I'm not afraid. No. I'm not afraid. I believe that God will help us and save us. Sometimes you are afraid. Oh, it's true. But I quickly reassure myself. One day I went to a hotel somewhere, on the way somewhere. In the night, I went to preach. When I finished preaching, then I came to the room in the night, around midnight or 1 a.m. Everybody had left me. I all finished. They came and dropped me at the hotel. I was in the room. When I sat down the bed, it was a very funny room too. Very, no space. Bed, chair, cupboard. There was no space. To go to your bed, you have to cross the chair. Very small room with big bed and big chair and big table. Small room. I keep no place. So I wasn't happy in the room at all. When I sat down in the room in the night, do you know what happened? Panic. I became afraid. I said, hey, there's the devil here or something. I don't know. I became afraid. So suddenly I said, no. Where's my iPad? I took my iPad, opened the message, and played the message, and for once I slept with the lights on. Yeah, I put the lights on, I slept, I couldn't sleep. You must, you see, this one you believe easily, but it's true. And you must believe that. Are you listening? Evil is personal. Do you understand what it means? Evil is personal. Don't say there's evil everywhere. No, no, no. There is a, Janice, there is a devil whose agenda is Janice. Oh yeah, there's a devil. There are devils who have, tell neighbor, I don't know how many are against you, but there are many. Tell neighbor, I don't know how many devils are against you, but there are many. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. We are fighting them and they are fighting us. Believe me that there are devils, not that there's evil in the world. No, it's a personal thing. Believe it. Otherwise, you play loose and you not be a serious Christian and you live life anyhow. Believe that there's an enemy against you, and that is why sometimes your things don't work. I don't know why you're not shouting or jumping or someone something, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all to me. They are angels. Hallelujah. Amen. Look, fear. Tell your neighbor, from today, I will never be afraid again. No, when you fear, do you know what you are saying? One day, my friend, we were on Tech Campus at that time. My friend, he was walking with a girl from somewhere to somewhere on the campus in the night. And something happened. I think there were two of them who were walking. And then something happened. Either they heard a woo 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 or some sound be in the night. And the girl rather went to another person for protection. And I said, oh, what about me? He said, I'm walking with you. Then we hear a sound in the night. I think they were behind a great hall, or they were working someone campus. And then the girl left him and went to the other person. Like I said, what are you saying? I can't protect you. What are you saying? Yeah. Do you understand the guy's condition? In the same way, when you are afraid, what are you saying? That God can't save you? What are you saying? You are afraid of what? Of a common devil. Can't God save you? There are angels sent to minister to those who are born to receive salvation. Can't that angel save you? What are you afraid of? One day when I was driving from Tamale to Accra, I used to drive very often, and I would drive in the night. In those days, there were no trucks, so it was very easy to drive in the night. Very smooth, cool weather. You just drive. And sometimes I drive alone. Then I always thought that, hey, if my car breaks down, I'll be alone in the middle of nowhere. Tell me, what am I going to do? I'm stuck. I'll be stuck there. One day I was driving. And as I was driving in the night, then my timing belt just broke in the night. Shoo, the car just stopped. And when the car stopped, engine went off. The blackness was black. There was no village nearby. There was nothing near. I mean, I was on the highway in darkness. Then I said to myself, this is it. What you are afraid has happened. You are worried about it. Here it is. And are you afraid? No. Why? I'm in the car. I just sat there. And then some man B came to pass. And then he stopped me. Then he helped me. Then in the end, I got home. But I was thinking, I was thinking that, Charlie, what a fearful thing. You get stuck in the night. Your car will break down. There's nobody. You are alone in the darkness. It happened to me. And then when it happened to me, I found myself that I wasn't afraid at all. I just sat in the car and waited. I just sat in the car. Where am I going? I should walk. Walk and go where? Just close the car door, sat down, and just waited. Salvation came in the morning. Sleeping in the car. Did I die? So many times you are afraid of things that are not fearful. I don't know whether you understand me. You are afraid of something that is not dangerous. It's nothing. It's nothing. It can be solved easily. And it will be solved too. Hey, how can I sleep on the road in the night? When the day comes, you just sleep and wake up. Your worry is, how will I brush my teeth? That's your real worry. How will I brush my teeth? Not that I will be attacked or raped or animal or nothing. Tell us, if you are a Christian, don't be afraid again. Oh, you're not minding me. If you are a Christian, don't be afraid again. Hallelujah. No, never be afraid. You are alone in your house. In the house, God will protect you. God will protect you. Angels will protect you. You are protected. I said you are protected. You will never be exposed to a danger. What did Paul say? No temptation, James, have you encountered that is beyond what you can take. No temptation. You will get out of it. Amen. Our time is finished. Last one. I'm giving you one more for today. Our doctrine. First Peter, this one, Bible verse first. First Peter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Amen. Amen. Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29. God has blessed you in ways that serve Christ. He allowed you to believe in Christ. But that is not all. He has also given you the honor of what? Suffering for Christ. Both of these things bring glory to Christ. Hallelujah. So the last one for today is suffering. Suffering. Tell your neighbor, we will suffer. You didn't say it loud. Talk about we will suffer. It is a part of our Christianity. You cannot come and tell me that you are a woman, you are pregnant, and there's no problem down the road. You are not serious. You are not serious. You are heading for where? Suffering. Where's Abigail? You are heading for where? Suffering. You are going to suffer down the line. True or not true? And I shouldn't say it. You are going. It is a constant. You are going to suffer. So listen, you are a Christian. I'm just ending on these two things. Number one, if you are suffering for Christ, it's not... Oh, my time is finished. It's becoming complicated. Number one, not all suffering is your fault, but some is. It's becoming complicated now. My time is finished. But let me just make this mention before I close. Some suffering is your fault, is your foolishness. Paul says, if you are buffeted for your wrongdoing, what benefit is there? So not all suffering is your fault, is necessary. But there is a suffering that comes from being a follower of Jesus Christ. That suffering, don't try to avoid it. In trying to avoid that suffering, you will do wrong. Don't try. There is a suffering for being a good Christian. There's a suffering for being coming to church, being a Christian in your class, being the only one who believes in God. There is a suffering, a mocking, a laughter, a teasing. There's something you will pay for being a Christian in your class. Don't try to be a crossover Christian to avoid it. No, that suffering, endure it. Pass it. Pass through it. It's a part of your life. It's a part of your calling. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. Look, there's plenty more, but we will not finish all of it. Hallelujah. Some suffering is part of your training. You cannot be a soldier and you not suffer. I mean, I watched some documentary about the British SAS, look, you carry 50 kilos on your back and you carry your gun and your everything. Then they walk for 3 days. It's a training. You walk for 3 days, day and night. And you, and those who fall down, they leave them. Then they are carried to the hospital. Yeah, those who collapse, you just keep marching and leave them. And they are marching, they just stop. You don't bath, you don't change. You just wear your dress, wear your shoes. And we are marching for 3 days, day and night. And they only stop to rest, to eat. No, up, we are moving again. And they are walking again. And as they are walking, some collapse. Those who collapse, they leave them. They have dropped out of the course. They have dropped out. You couldn't handle it. Yeah, but those who... And it's 50 kilos. That's a bag of cement. That's a bag of cement on your back that you are carrying and walking, holding your gun and holding everything else. Put your hands together this morning. Listen. Listen. Let's be good Christians. Proper Christians. Hallelujah. There are many, many other doctrines. I'll try. I don't know whether I will go back and continue or I don't know. We will see. But you must think like this. What's number one? Salvation. Never meet anybody you like or you care for or you see and be not concerned about where they are going should they die. That's why tell somebody it's very evil. Bad, evil, wicked that you come to church alone. Tell anybody, you know, it's very, very wrong. No, tell anybody it's very, very not wrong, it's very, very wrong that you come to church alone. You just walk like that to church. You don't, and you let your roommate sitting down there in the room watching television. And you left your brother or your sister at home playing cartoon games. No. It's wrong. Salvation is key. Amen. Number two is what? Number two is what? You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have it, you must worry somebody until. The same way when you want money, you can worry up to get money. Say, please, I don't have money. You can worry somebody. You can write to your brother in Germany, to somebody in London. You are appealing to everybody in the world. You know, I need money for school fees. My hostel dues are 5,000. I have 3,000. Please, I need 2,000. You appeal to everybody. But this one, Holy Ghost, you are okay. Tell somebody, no, it's over. I am looking for the Holy Spirit today. Yeah. Number three is what? Judgments. You'll be judged, so behave well whether we see you or not. Do you understand? Behave. Even in your thoughts, behave. Don't even think. If you think, you will do. So don't think. Don't wonder what is fornication like. They say don't do, but can we try one and see? Let's go and do only one. Just testing mic, one, two, testing mic. No. Tell somebody no. No. Don't do it. Number four is heaven and hell. Yeah. And eternity. We are going somewhere. Yeah. Don't. This earth is not a good place. That's all. This earth. One day I was thinking, this earth is so unfair. I was thinking, this earth, there's so much corruption and so unfair. Then the Holy Spirit said, yeah. Yes. Because only heaven is perfect. If this earth was perfect to you, you want to stay. But you have made it, you have made it so uncomfortable, I can't stay here. But you are trying to become comfortable in this place. I want more money to become comfortable. No. Number four is heaven and hell. Number five is angels and devils. They are real. Amen. Pray to see angels in your house. Pray. Okay. When the door opens at night, don't bind the door. No. Do you hear me? If you are asleep and the door opens by itself, what should you do? Say, come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Our only devils can open doors. Angels can open doors. If you are in the room, then yeah, Regina, if you have to go. If you are under pressure and you are afraid and you are seeing
hear in your room, don't say it's a devil. Don't say it's a devil. Only devils can attack us. Why? Because you don't have room in your heart for angels. You don't have room in your heart for when things happen in your life, you don't have room for angels. Amen. Angels are real. They are here. I'm mindful of them. They are here. I know there are angels here. And the last one is suffering. We'll suffer small. Nobody will suffer. Stand to your feet this morning.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.